I'm interviewing Ernest Kelly, affectionately known as Ned Kelly, and it's Tuesday, the 26th of August, 2014. You were one of Australia's first space trackers.
Yes, it was done, of course, for the IGY, and one of my ex-Navy colleagues, he was one of the first, Jake Kerr, and there were several other chaps there, some from the Army and some from the Air Force, and they provided telemetry support, and we did the tracking.
So you had a Navy background in technical things beforehand?
Yes, actually, there were three ex-Navy blokes there. We were all classed as radar mechanics or radio mechanics, all 12-year men, and I came out in June 1958. I had a weekend off and started work. I had a week in Adelaide to look at a mini-track book, and then I went to up to the range and started the following week.
Where were you before you started at mini-track?
I just discharged from the Navy. I finished my time on the 19th of June 1958 and went to work the following Monday.
Right. How did you find out about it?
Well, I was looking for a job, of course, and I just put in a general application to WRE, it was known in those days. Mm-hmm. And one of the chaps that I'd previously worked at a missile range during my Navy time, and there was a man there, Jack Dowling, who I knew, and he knew me, mm-hmm. and he got wind of my application, and he said, well, I'd like to have him up at Minitrack, and that's how it started.
Right, and that's Jack Dowling. He later went over to Florida, I think, to the...
He did. He became a station director for one of the stations over there.
So Jack was in the Navy?
No, Jack was an Air Force man. I knew him only at the missile range, you know, and I think he was a wartime chap.
Was that at Woomera, at the missile range, or was it somewhere you can't tell me?
Oh, no, that was at Woomera.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you'd been at Woomera before?
Yes, yeah, during my Navy time. I spent 2 years there.
Okay. So you moved up to the Minitrack station. Now, the IGY was the mm-hmm. International Geophysical Year, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. And that was primarily to get a Vanguard satellite in order, in mm-hmm. orbit.
Mm-hmm. You were working for WRE, which was working on behalf of the US Navy, US Naval Laboratories.
Yes, they were the prime contractors, actually. They're the ones that sort of set the whole thing up. We were mainly in touch with Goddard Space Flight Center. We had a lot to do with them.
And this was actually before the formation of NASA, wasn't it?
Virtually, yes. Yes, that came later, yes.
Mm. I gather the initial mini-track setup was on Range G.
That's it.
So where was that with respect to Woomera? That's to the northwest somewhere.
It was. It wasn't very far outside the village area. It was the closest range, and it was chosen, no doubt, because it had it lapsed, and but they had buildings there and other things that were ideal for what they wanted to do.
The footage I've seen of the mini-track there, it looks like it was all set up in vans initially, was it?
That's right. Mm. Yeah, they had Fruhoff trailers, 32-foot, and all the electronics was housed in the trailer, and the antenna field, of course, all cables came and were terminated in that cable, mm-hmm. in that trailer.
So was the health system set up when you arrived, or were you part of putting it together?
Well, they started in 1957, and I arrived in June 58.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sort of a bit behind the other fellows, but only a matter of months.
Mm. So at Range G, there wasn't anybody else really much working at the time. It was mainly just the mini-track set up?
Well, that's all that was there. Yeah.
Yep. So the mini-track system was a kind of interferometer, wasn't it?
Yes, you could classify it as an interferometer. They used to call it as a phase angle measuring system, which virtually, I suppose, is the same thing. But basically, that's what it was.
So did you have very much to track when you initially started?
The first satellite we tracked, of course, was the Russian Sputnik, and then several other satellites followed, and then Americans put up the Vanguard. Mm-hmm. And of course, like everything else, once they got the hang of it, they came thick and fast.
Yes, they went ahead in leaps and bounds, didn't they?
They did.
The initial mini-track was on 118 megahertz?
108.
108, yes. Sorry.
Yes. That was a designated frequency just for the 18 months of the IGY.
Do you want to talk through what it was like during a pass?
Okay, well, we used to get predictions that predicted the time of meridian crossing at our particular location.
Mm-hmm.
We based our pastime on that. We'd go down and we'd have to do preliminary things, like we'd calibrate the equipment before the pass, and then when it was finished we'd do a post-calibration at the frequency at which we were working. And that was to check out the equipment. And also, the actual recordings we took, which were both digital and analog, the calibration gave the signal levels. The system, the whole system of Mini-Track was at a sensitivity of about 135 dBm. That's dBs below a milliwatt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very sensitive equipment, and you then put these signal levels in before the pass and after the pass.
Right.
And then the computing girls would get hold of that and they could determine the actual signal level or the received signal level of the satellite.
So your initial work, was that mainly for working at the orbital characteristics of the satellites, or were you receiving telemetry as well?
No, telemetry was a separate issue. That was a separate section, and that was mainly Don Turnbull, I think you might know that name. He was in telemetry. They did the same thing. They listened out for the satellite signal and then recorded it on tape. If there was any information on the, like scientific information on the satellite. The principal object of the exercise was to establish the meridian crossing, the point where the satellite crossed the meridian, and then they gave data either side of that. And from this, of course, they were able to update their predictions throughout the system.
Should I ask you anything about the initial setup at Range G before we go to Island Lagoon?
It was highly publicised, I suppose, and it was a sort of the flight of the month type thing. The politicians loved it, of course, and it was, it was quite a big deal. From a technical point of view, a personal point of view, it was the equipment that we worked on was state-of-the-art. Particularly test equipment was all, top-shelf stuff.
So how many would there have been at the Mini-Track site?
Well, in my day, we had about two or three of us looked after the actual Mini-Track trailer, and telemetry was about the same. So all told, about half a dozen blokes.
Right.
And we had a support staff of computing girls. We had about four or five of those.
Were they on site or in Woomera or somewhere else?
No, they were on site.
Okay. And your communications with Goddard would have been via teletype, I guess?
Yes, that was on site as well. So we had a teletype operator, and it was just completely self-contained,
Okay, so there was a need, or at least the whole site was moved down to Island Lagoon.
Yes, that's right. Well, this was necessary, of course, because of the change of frequency. As I said before, they could only use 108 during the LIGY, and they changed it to 136, and we built a whole new mini track. At this time, they did it properly, and they built had a purpose-built building, which housed all the telemetry equipment and the mini track.
So when you went to Idle Lagoon, I know that the DSS 41 was built there. Was that already on site when you moved?
Or it was there before we got there.
Okay, so that was already established. And
yes, it was.
Woomera must have been an interesting place to live.
Oh, it was. It a very nice place to live, actually. Mm. There was virtually no crime, pretty healthy area. They had all the facilities you needed. The housing situation was good. They had a store, a swimming pool, a picture theatre, all the things you needed, you know.
did you live in single quarters, or what was your accommodation like?
Initially, yes. And then we, when I first went there, in the Navy, we had to wait some time while they were building the houses. So I think it was about 7 months before I could get my wife up there and get established.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, when I was as a civilian, they had plenty of accommodation, single accommodation, and then they didn't take very long to get married accommodation.
So once you were at Idle Lagoon, it was the principle of the station was the same, it's just different antennas for the different frequency.
Yeah, well, they had a new antenna field, of course, and they also had additional antennas. They established it so they could... The original Minitrack was for equatorial launches, mm-hmm. mainly.
Yeah.
That is, low angles with the, say, about 30 degrees to the equator.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of... they're assisted by the rotation of the Earth, you know, at launch. Mm-hmm. And I think the 136 was built and it could cater with polar launches. The actual beams were... from memory, 100 degrees by 10, like a fan shape, and that lied along the north-south line, and they had one for the east-west line.
In terms of acquiring the signal, did you manually tune? Did you modulate it and listen to it through speakers?
No, we didn't have any audio stuff in the Minitrack. It was it wouldn't be worth listening anyway, because in the early days they were all... what they call CW signals. That is, no modulation.
Right, you see.
There was nothing to listen to anyway, but we didn't need to. The telemetry, of course, was a different setup. They would have their modulated signals and they were recording them on tape.
So how long were you at the Minitrack for once it moved to Idle Lagoon?
Not very long, actually. I think. Probably about 18 months, 2 years. One of the things from a personal point of view, Jake Kerr and myself, we had the pleasure of setting up Island Lagoon. We got all the equipment in and, you know, buttoned it up and got it working. That was a very interesting, you know, job. A lot of it, we didn't have to manhandle equipment, was put in for us, mm-hmm. but we, you know, tidied it all up and connected up all the antennas and got them working properly. And that was interesting. We had a fairly good reputation, our station. We were up there with the best of them.
Only one Minitrack station in Australia, wasn't there?
That was right, yeah. One of the things that we had in our calibration camera, we had US Air Force camera. We used to calibrate the Minitrack.
That was a Minitrack optical tracking system, is it?
That's the one I'm talking about, yes. And the other thing was I don't know whether you remember, the Baker Nunn photographed the Vanguard satellite. I think it was about 1,000 miles or something. Ridiculous site anyway. So we had a few firsts. They're very exciting days, and it was 24-hour every day, of course, and we were all on shift work, that type of it. Was pretty good. We worked normally, we tailored the shifts to suit the predictions so that we'd have maximum coverage. But, you know, it was very exciting.